ask you if you turn in your Bibles with me to the Gospel of John, chapter number 5. Gospel of John, chapter number 5. I want to speak on a very basic but essential issue. That is, Jesus is God. Jesus is God. Not partly God, not like God. He is God. And we find that dealt with in the passage today. This is an important issue. There are many who would say they worship God, who do not worship, adore, and love the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is God. He's not a replacement for the Father, but He's co-equal with the Father. That is, He's not only equal, but together they rule and reign, and neither works apart from the other. Now this subject is developed in this chapter at this place, explained by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, because of the attack made on Him in verse 18 in the last part of the verse. These people are wanting to kill Jesus, not only because He had broken the Sabbath, that is, by their rules, but said also that God was His Father, making Himself equal with God. Jesus is equal with God because He is God. He's equal with God the Father. He's separate from the Father, but equal with Him. We'll see the explanation of this as we get into the verses. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to lay hold on this truth of the magnificence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to see Him in His glory. Help us to recognize that He's fully deity. Help us to worship and love Him with greater awe and fear. Father, we'll praise You. Then I ask You would stir the hearts of those that have never heard themselves from Jesus. They've only heard about Him. Open their ears that they might hear. Stir their hearts to hear the very voice of the Savior tugging and speaking and dealing within them. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. John 5, verse 19. Then answered Jesus, that is, to their not liking who He really was, and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself but what He seeth the Father do. For what things soever He doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Two things about Jesus being God. He never worked apart from the Father. He never went His own way, did His own thing. He always worked in agreement, in conjunction, doing that of the Father. And the second thing, and this proves that He's God, He did everything that God the Father did. Look at it. What things soever He doeth, that is the Father, these also doeth the Son likewise. Now it's one thing to do a few things someone else does, or to try to copy it. You can go to most any playground basketball court in this country, and if the children are old enough now, you'll see one of them claiming to be doing a Michael Jordan. But if you watch carefully, he is not doing a Michael Jordan. He's doing a cheap imitation of the real thing. And some of them, it's cheaper than others. But is it just an imitation? To be able to do everything that Michael Jordan did in basketball would have to be his equal. Jesus said everything the Father did, he did too. He was equal with the Father. He was as mighty and as powerful. He was as wise and knowing and understanding and merciful and loving as the Father. For whatever the Father did, he did also. It would have been in a similar fashion for a similar reason. He did the identical things. When the Father created the earth, Jesus created the earth. When the Father brought healing, Jesus brought healing. Whatever it was, when the Father would save, Jesus would save. There is nothing the Father did that Jesus doesn't also do. There's an amazing study to start with right there. And we have the statement from Jesus himself, whatsoever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. That would be sufficient to establish the claim that Jesus said he was God. Sometimes it's hard to keep what you believe out of the workplace. I mean, you don't believe it, just not supposed to talk about it on company time. I can remember working in a shoe store owned by a Jewish man. And his Jewish brother was the manager of the store. And a customer came in, it looked like he'd lived off of dill pickles. And I tried to cheer him up a little and encourage him. Not just to sell him shoes, I felt sorry for the poor fella. And we got to talking. And he brought the subject up about God and the Bible. So I talked about Jesus and the Bible. It's interesting, you get on Jesus, people get a little nervous. The manager of the store didn't seem to mind. The owner wasn't there. I don't know if I ever did meet the owner, but once or twice. The manager didn't seem to mind. And this fellow began to get hostile, and he started mocking Jesus and all. He said, you ought to be careful. Jesus is God. He said, No, he's not at all. He said, well, he sure is. What makes you think so? I said, because the Bible says so. The Bible doesn't say he's God. The Bible doesn't say he's God, and he never said he's God. He said, did you ever read the Gospel of John? He said, yes. I said, you didn't see it? He said, no. I said, well, that's why. You're blind. I don't remember if I sold him shoes or not. I sort of think I was able to anyway. But we went several rounds on it, and finally I just sort of backed off, you know. Some people are blind. Jesus said, if the Father does it, I do it. What more do you need? And there are multitudes of other things. Jesus is fully God. And there's nothing that the Father can do that he can't also do. He's God. Then he explains in verse 20. For the Father loveth the Son. See, God not only loved us, he loved the Son. But the Son, he showeth him all things that himself doeth. That's more than he did for me. I'm not capable of seeing all the things he's done. I don't know that you're capable of seeing all the things the Father's done. Or even a fragment of them, what's done around us. But the Son can see it all because he's God. And he can absorb it. And he will show him greater works than these that you may marvel. See, what I do is what he does. Because he showed me. And that's why I do them. And he's going to show me some greater works. Because I do what he does. And the reason he goes show them to me is so you'll be able to marvel. Now, they just seen a lame man that was healed. But Jesus said, you better get ready because there are greater things coming. The Father's about to show me what it is, and I'm going to go ahead and do what he does. And that way you'll be able to see how great the Father is and how I'm God. Blind people saw, Dead people were raised. Multitudes were fed. And on and on it goes. Oh, if we could grasp the inner workings and the cooperation of the Father and the Son. The Son didn't just run off and do His thing. He did what He saw. What the Father did, He did. And He says, He's about to do something greater. And so I'll be doing something greater. And it's not so that I get to do something greater, but so that you'll be able to marvel. And maybe stir your cold, hard heart to see something like this happen. Long as things go normal life, people just sort of normal life ignore God. But when God breaks in unusual fashions and unusual things happen, people marvel at it. Sometimes they back up and say, wait a minute, we better pay more attention to God. He says, so you can marvel. Verse 21. It says, for as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom He will. Said, now the Father, He can take the dead and raise them up. Now after He raises them up, He can put life in them. You say, wait a minute, what's that? Remember about Ezekiel in the Valley of Dry Bones? You told Ezekiel, can these bones live? Ezekiel said, thou knowest. He said, prophesy to the bones. And so Ezekiel took to preaching at those bones. The bone came to bone. Jawbone connected to the knee bone. Well, if you believe in evolution, that might have happened, but God had the jawbone connect to the skull bone. And He had the knee bone connect to the thigh bone. You know the song. They got it all together. And then all of a sudden there's flesh, sinew and flesh. Was on these bones. There's a big problem now. Instead of dry bones, we have a bunch of corpses. He said, do you believe these men can live? He said, well, thou knowest. He said, preach again. Sure enough, life came into them. Sometimes we only get people where we get them part way to life. We don't get them all the way. And we end up with a mess on our hands. We get a bunch of corpses instead of bones. Raised from the dead, but no life in them. They'll be propped up, walking zombies, whatever you want to call them, I don't care. But they're not what they ought to be. So that's what the Father does. He can raise them, and He can put life into them, both. And both are needed. But now, the Son, He can do the same. But He doesn't do it wholesale. He quickens whom He will. That's what Jesus said. I quicken who I will. And I put life in where I want to. Say, what's that mean? He just come from the pool of Bethesda where there were five porches of sick people and He only healed one on one of those porches. That's His choice. That's His business. Thank God He healed one. I don't understand it. I don't have to sort it out. I don't have to explain it. I just know that's what it says. The greatness. I think sometimes the problem, though, is that we will for less to be quickened than the Son would will to be quickened. Instead of more. People get to fussing on this. They forget we are responsible to carry the message. That the Son's able to quicken whoever He will. There's no limit. He can do it as He chooses and pleases. Nobody's going to tie Him up. Nobody's going to bind Him down. Nobody's going to hold Him back. Just like God puts life in dead bodies, so Jesus can put life into those that are dead in their trespasses and sins. He's a mighty one. He can quicken them. It's not according to our will, but His will. And He can go and quicken those that are dead. And hallelujah, He does. My, that's worth praying about and working for and laboring with, that he'll be quickening some. I count on it. I watch for it. I look forward to it. And I have the assurance that the Savior's well able to handle that part. I don't have to pump life into him. Imagine me finding a corpse somewhere or another and getting one of those old-fashioned tire pumps and trying to pump air into them. That's not going to do them any good. It takes an act of God to quicken them. And those of you that are lost, you're dead in your trespasses and sins. And until Jesus works on you, there'll be no hope for your soul. He's the one's going to have to quicken you. He alone can save you. I can't save you. You can't save yourself. But hallelujah, there's a Savior who can save you. And your only hope is in Him. He said, the Son quickeneth whom He will. Don't argue with Him. That's His will. He'll take care of it. You find out what you're to do and get on with it. He not only can do all the Father does, but He can quicken who He wills. He's God. And in verse 22, the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. He's God. Jesus is going to handle all the judgment. I'm glad it's no board. It's no assembly. It's no papal council. I'm glad that it's Jesus going to be my judge. A holy, pure Savior is going to be my judge. The Father committed all judgment into His hands. And He's going to handle it. He's wise enough. He's able enough because He's God to care for all that judgment. Then in verse 23, why is that done? That all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent Him. The Son is to get honor co-equal with the Father. He's God. You don't honor Him less than the Father. Any decrease in honor given to Jesus is a decrease in honor given to the Father. Any dishonor given to the Son is a dishonor given to the Father. Any bypass of the Son is a bypass of the Father. No man cometh the Father but by Him. Your attitude towards Jesus is your attitude towards God the Father. Honor is to be given to the Son because that's the same as giving it to the Father. And if you don't honor the Son, you're not honoring the Father at all. How many people are trying to get through being religious, believing in God, but bypassing Jesus, never speaking to Him, never dealing with Him, never listening to Him, never honoring Him, never obeying Him, never submitting to Him, never believing on Him, and think somehow they're going to make some kind of a deal with God the Father. But they're co-equal. They're in this together. They're in this together. You can't go to Jesus and ignore the Father because they're in this together. Oh, the greatness of the Godhead and their cooperation. And the Jewish people wanted to kill Jesus for making Himself equal with the Father. Well, He was equal. He didn't make Himself that way. He'd always been that way. It wasn't anything new. It's just they're beginning to understand it. In verse 24, great salvation text. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Two great requirements. Hear my word. Oh, a person needs to hear what Jesus says. Not just hear about Jesus, not learn a few little facts here and there, but heareth my word. Have you ever heard from Jesus? Did you keep on hearing from Jesus? Some heard and did nothing. or it's only a past matter. Whosoever heareth, heard, hears, and keeps on hearing my word. Oh, do you know the voice of the Savior? Does it stir your heart when he talks? Or do you only have some philosophical ideas and doctrinal teachings that you're going to substitute in the place of the person of the Lord Jesus himself? He said, he that heareth my word, not just heard about me and believed a couple of things about me. Have you heard his word? And second, believeth on him that sent me. Did believe? Still believes? Going to keep on believing. On him, God the Father, that sent me. Jesus was sent. It didn't just happen. He didn't begin at Nazareth nor Bethlehem. He had always been co-equal, co-existent with the Father. Never been a time when Jesus had not existed. There came a time when the Father in heaven said, Son, I'm sending you down to earth. I'm sending you to that sin-cursed planet and that sin-plagued race of humans. I'm sending you as an infant, be raised as a child, to live, die as a man, and pay with your blood for their sins, and be raised again the third day. I'm sending you. Oh, there are people who want to believe in him. Not that he sent anybody to do anything, and they don't want to believe Jesus always been around. One day God sent down here to help us. People tell me, well, I'm doing the best I can. I think that's about all anybody can do. I tell them, no, that's not all anybody can do. And what's more, it's not good enough. That's enough to frustrate them. They don't know what else to do and find out the best they can do is not enough. I said, if what you could do would be good enough, then God never would have sent Jesus. He could have left him in heaven. He never would have had to come. But at that time, they look at me sort of strange. Like, first, they never thought that Jesus could have missed out on it. And second, they never thought Jesus was there to have missed out. Maybe, a lot of people think he's just a good man. Became like God, maybe turned into a God. They think he had a starting point. No, he got sent by the Father. Do you believe on the one that sent the Son? And do you believe the Son, what he says to you? Oh, this is necessary. The two great requirements. Then I point out the two conditions. Hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. We could divide ourselves into two groups this morning. Between those that have everlasting life already, right now, possess it and enjoy it and are going to stay in it. And those that are in condemnation. Condemned already because they have not believed on the only begotten Son of the Father. Everybody's in one camp or the other. Not waiting to find out how it turns out. Jesus said in John 3, we saw it a few weeks ago, they are condemned already. But when a person hears the word of Jesus and believes on him that sent Jesus, they have everlasting life and they'll not come into condemnation because they've moved out of that into everlasting. Are you in? Which place are you in today? Everlasting life or condemnation? And then I point out further, there's a great change. It says, is passed from death unto life. those that have been saved once were dead, but they've passed out of death. Not into some foggy zone, but into life itself. Let me ask you, are you in death or are you in life? Did you ever get out of death into life? That's the everlasting life. You ever get into that? Or are you still in death and condemnation? Oh, where are you this morning? Where are you? You rejoice in having passed from death unto life. It takes God to raise them and breathe in. And the Son quickeneth whom He will. And you say, Jesus, quicken me. And I'm not dead any longer. I'm alive. I'm alive. I heard Him. And He quickened me. And now I have everlasting life. Glory to the Son. He quickened me. He put life in me. And now I'm alive. I've passed into life. I'm not dead in my trespasses and sins, wandering bound, having to sin anymore. Oh, what a marvelous text, verse 24 is. You might want to mark it. I put a big S by it so I could have it to show people that are concerned about their souls and being saved. But I hasten on. We're talking about Jesus being God. Verse 25, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. How do you pass from death unto life? You hear the voice of the Son of God. That's heareth my word. He speaks and He speaks and you'll be able to hear. Oh, what a marvelous thing. When once you are dead, you're moving to life. Why? Because you hear the voice of the Son of God. He quickens whom He will. He speaks. Are you listening? Are you listening for Him to speak? As the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He given to the Son to have life in Himself. Say, life comes from God. Well, God the Father said, I'm giving it to the Son. Life comes from Him. You want everlasting life, you're going to have to deal with Him. He's the one that does the works. He's the one that handles the judgment. He's the one that does the speaking. He quickens whom He will. Get your life from Jesus. Not from your works. Not from your knowledge. Not from your religion. Not from your doctrine. But get it from Jesus. There's life to be had from Jesus. And He offers it. Does He offer it through ordinances of the church? No, no, no. Does He offer it through membership in the church? Never, never, never. Does He offer it through religious works? Oh, no. He comes and He speaks to you with a direct offer. His own words. Come unto me. All ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Hear His words. Hear Him say, repent and believe the gospel. Except you repent, you'll all likewise perish. Hear His words. Speak to your heart. Let Him talk to you. I'm only a mouthpiece. Hear what Jesus says to you. Let Him stir your heart like no man could ever stir your heart. Let Him break your heart. Let Him bring a hatred of sin and a desire for holiness. Let Him speak to you. He's the origin of life. He speaks. He speaks. You've given Him authority to execute judgment also because He's the Son of Man. I'm glad my judge has been touched in all points. No infirmities like I. He's a man while He's fully God. He knows our frame that we are but dust. He is tempted in all points like us we are. Yet, without sin. A holy, understanding judge who will not manipulate nor compromise. Do that which is the will of God the Father and execute that judgment properly, impartially, with no secret agenda to manipulate. Oh, what a judge is Jesus. He said, marvel not at this. The hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. He said, if you're not going to listen, you're going to hear it one day anyway when you're dead. Everybody dead's going to hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good under the resurrection of life, they that have done evil under the resurrection of damnation. There'll be two resurrections. Dying, you can't avoid Jesus. In death, all are going to hear. There's the resurrection of life, and there's the resurrection of damnation. And everybody's going to one or the other of those two resurrections. And Jesus is going to call people out for one. He's going to call them out for the other. He's the judge of the quick and the dead. Those he quickened and those who are still dead in their trespasses and sins. He's going to deal with them. The resurrection of life, that's for those that, when they heard Jesus' word, did good. This is the light which lighteth every man cometh into the world. They did good. But the resurrection of damnation, when the light came, they did evil. Oh, what a terrible thing it is to turn your back on the Savior. To stop your ears. To ignore what He's let you see. And let you hear, and to whom much is given, much is required. Oh, it gets worse the more a sinner rejects and rejects. How much evil it is to spurn the life giver. Spurn him. Done evil. But others did good. They heard. And they trusted. And it makes a difference which resurrection you're going to be in on. I didn't say that. I'm just reading it. It's talking all along, isn't it, about hearing His Word? About Him talking. About Him bringing life. And some get in on the resurrection of life. But there are those that have done evil and stayed dead and the resurrection of damnation. Verse 30, I can of mine own self do nothing. He said, can he do what he wants? No. So, well, I thought he could. No. He'd made up his mind. He's not going to. Once you make up your mind on something and it's as settled as the Savior's mind gets settled on things, that settles it. Because when he settled it, it's settled. He said, I can do. But my own self, I do nothing. I can do nothing. Said, I've determined to be absolutely submissive to the Father. I'm equal, co-equal. We share, but I submit. And I'm not going to go do something on my own. He said, as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. Oh, if we could learn that. Listen to these three steps. As I hear, that's what determines how I judge. And I don't have to worry. My judgment will be just. As you listen to Jesus and His Word, the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ, you don't do what you want to do, think what you want to think, has nothing to do with it. As you hear, you are to judge. And you'll not have to worry. Your judgment will be right. But if you want to do it on your own, you'll have wrong judgment. Just walk in the steps of the Savior. He said, as I hear, I judge, my judgment's right. Why? Because he's hearing right, he's going to judge right, and judgment will be right then. If we could learn that concept, very simple. The Bible said it, that settled it, and that makes it right. I just walk accordingly. And he goes on. Says, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Said, I'm submitted to my Father's will. Not my own will, but the will of the Father. No wonder when it came down to just before the cross, and the devil's putting the pressure on, and the body's suffering, and the soul's in agony, he's being deserted by his friends. And there's nobody there to pray with him. The agony in the garden. It was an issue that had long been settled. It wasn't some new idea he'd come to when he said, not my will, but thy will be done. That had already been decided back down the road. You best settle it now, because there'll come a time when it may be hard to come to that conclusion, but if you're already there, you can just rest on it. Submission to the will of God. You know why a lot of people are going to go to the resurrection of the condemned? Because they're in condemnation. Why they're still dead? Because they want their will. Some area of their life, they want their way. And they will not bow the knee to Jesus in every area. And when he speaks, they've got a deaf ear on that point. Or they just ignore it and go on their way. Jesus would have been, follow me, an imperfect Savior and not God, if he'd just gone on his way. We're to walk in his steps. How else do you think he's going to get us fit for heaven? Submit to his will. And if you want to be a rebel against his will, then you'll not have heaven. You'll not have everlasting life. You'll not have the resurrection of life. You'll not be in on all of that. Oh, no. You'll be in on the other side. Because he prepared a place for the devil, his angels, all those rebels against Almighty God and the Almighty Son. Jesus is God. And how you treat him is how you treat the Father. And it shows the nature of your heart. Is there any area you're not submitted in? Is there any area you don't want to hear what Jesus says? Oh, I'd like the benefits, but on this I'm going to take my way instead of what Jesus said. Long as you have a controversy between you and Jesus, there'll be no peace. Because he won't change. He can't. He's already agreed with the Father, and the Father's not going to change. It's a settled matter. And you're the one that needs to submit. Don't ask God to submit to your will. You submit to his will. Heavenly Father, please take your word and stir our hearts. Help these condemned sinners to see why they're lost and how much they need Jesus. Help them listen with their heart to Jesus, to get beyond me and my words and hear your words, Jesus' words, speaking to their soul. Help them to bow in submission to Jesus, to honor him that they might honor you. Help us now. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.